VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, since the September 11th Islamic terror attack on the United States, the West has become aware of the Arabic word jihad. But what is it? What is jihad? Is it true that Islam typically does not spread by evidence, but rather by the threat of the sword? Listen to some of the recent headlines. Washington state man reads the Quran, gets the idea to kill a woman. Egypt. Muslim screaming Allahu Akbar stabs his Christian neighbor seven times. Here's another headline. Woman adds rat poison to husband's food in plot to kill him for converting to Christianity. How can there be so much death and violence in what is called a peaceful religion? And also, what about Ramadan? Why is so much Islamic terror in a month of self-evaluation and fasting? Well, we're going to discuss those issues here today on Crosstalk. With us in studio, we welcome Usama Daktok. He is the founder of the Straight Way of Grace Ministry. He's a speaker on the daily radio broadcast, Revealing the Truth About Islam. He does speak fluent Arabic and has translated the Quran into English. And he is also the author of Exposing the Truth About the Quran and Exposing the Truth About Jihad, the second volume recently released entitled Unholy War in the Quran. Usama, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thank you, Brother Jim. It's always my joy to be with you and all our wonderful audience.
You've written this two-volume set, Exposing the Truth About Jihad. Your first volume, you presented Holy War in the Bible, and you and I interviewed on that previously. Your second volume is now Unholy War in the Quran. We are told today, as you know, that Islam is a religion of peace. We're told that. Many people have bought into that line, but you say people are ignorant of what the Quran teaches. Why do you believe that this is such an important issue to understand this?
Well, if Islam is a religion of peace, why would you not see one verse in the Quran where Allah commands the Muslim believers to live in peace or in harmony with others? As a matter of fact, the one time we hear about peace in Quran 47:35, it teaches the opposite. Allah said, do not be weak, calling for peace when you have the upper hand. I do not know how can we call Islam a peaceful religion where the peace is missing in the pages of its holy book.
Some people have claimed that the word Islam comes from the word Salim. That means peace. Is that true? Is that really what Islam means?
They say it is coming from the word Salam. As a matter of fact, it does not make any sense. Why? Because the word Salam in Arabic language means peace, which is Shalom in Hebrew. But Islam is the word to submit or to surrender. And it is very clear from the teachings of the Quran and the command of Muhammad that Muslims not initiate peace with the Jews and the Christians, but they force them by the sword to become Muslim. And to submit in Islam, to become a Muslim, is to literally surrender your life to the teaching of Allah in the Quran and the command of Muhammad in the Hadith, which neither teach Muslims to live in peace.
Usama, we remember what happened September 11th, 2001, this Islamic terror attack here in the United States, and yet there are Muslims in the West who said, well, what happened on September 11th has nothing to do with Islam. Some will say that Islam was hijacked by radicals, it was hijacked by extremists, it was hijacked by fundamentalists. What is your response to that?
Well, we need to understand these three words, radical, extreme, and fundamental, because in reality, Brother Jim, if you look at these words in the dictionary, not in the mindset of the American today, because we're living in the end of time where evil is called good and good is called evil. So when we talk about these three words, we always like to put the twist in it to make it a negative way. Oh, that lady is so radical. That man is extreme. Well, these people are very fundamental. And the way we present these words, it's always bring to our mind that there's something wrong with these three words. But in my book, in the introduction, I talked about these three words because I want to clear the way very well. I want to make sure that when we say Muslim believers do this, Allah commands the Muslim to do that, Muhammad practices this, this is the fundamental, radical, extreme beliefs of Islam. The God of the Bible is a fundamental God, is extreme and radical God. The prophets of the Bible, Old Testament, and the apostles of the New Testament were all fundamental, radical, extreme. I'm amazed when I went even to the dictionary to look for the word extreme. It says, very good. Extreme is good. And the best way I can explain this to our dear audience, imagine with me that your husband or your wife love you, but not extremely. So they're going to say, I'm going to love you 5 days a week or 6 days a week. And on the weekend, I'm going to spend it with my other girlfriend or boyfriend. How do you like to live with a husband or wife in that condition? Our God is extreme in his judging to sin. And that's why he literally orders the killing in the Old Testament. He is the one who literally wiped the entire earth by the flood. He is the one who literally burned the five cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is not a claim we put on the God of the Bible, but that's the reality. God is extreme in his judgment, in his punishment for sin, because he's extreme just judge. But he's also very extreme in his love. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to save us from our sins. That is the teaching of the Bible concerning all those who live in the Old Testament according to the word of God and those who live in the New Testament. We are called to be extreme, fundamental, and radical. But the problem is not in these three words, Brother Jim. The problem is, where are you using these three words? In the Christian faith, I have to be extreme to love my enemy. In Muslim faith, or what we call Muslim cult, Muslims have to be extreme of killing and wiping out any and everyone who will not submit to Islam. Mm-hmm. So when you practice Islam, you are extreme, you're radical, you're fundamental, because you follow the book. When you practice Christianity, you're extreme and radical and fundamental because you practice the book. Nothing wrong with these three words, but where you live and by them is a problem.
Yeah, and so often we see in sports today, you know, we got to get back to the fundamentals and to learn that sport. And that same is true then with Islam. You're saying
everything.
When we say it's extreme, it's radical, it is fundamental, that means we're just really adhering to what the issue really is.
You cannot be wishy-washy in Islam. As a matter of fact, this wonderful Muslim people whom we call in the West moderate Muslims do not exist in Islam. Allah calls them hypocrite Muslims. Hypocrite Muslims, Quran chapter 3, verse 167. Allah said, by that you will know the hypocrite. If you ask him to come to engage in war for the cause of Allah or to contribute, that's performing jihad, with their lives or with their money, when they say no, they are the hypocrites. Allah said, they are closer to infidelity than to faith. That's why Allah in Quran chapter 9 and verse 73 orders the Muslim believers to kill the hypocrites as much as they perform jihad against the infidels. This is the teaching of the Quran. You cannot have it. There is no wishy-washy in Islam. You are a Muslim believer or you're a hypocrite. And sadly, hypocrites in Islam are also ordered by Allah to be killed by the radical, extreme Muslim fundamental believers.
Usama Daktak with us here on Crosstalk today. Egyptian-born, he studied Islam, was raised up in learning Islam in the Egyptian schools. In your book on page 40, you state this: Islam is not a faith. Islam is a savage cult. Do you really believe that?
Absolutely. If you follow the book, Christianity is a loving and peaceful belief and faith. Why? Because first of all, we believe in our heart. That's faith. I don't have any evidence for the existence of it. It's my belief. Islam is not a faith because there's nothing to believe in. Even when some of the Bedouins said, we believe, Allah corrects them in the Quran. He said, do not say we believe, but say we submit, we surrender. For faith never enter your heart. That's Quran chapter 49, verse 14, I believe. In Islam, if you are a Muslim practicing Islam, you are commanded to behead the Christians. Not every Muslim does that, and I'm thankful to the Lord for that. But the cult of Islam, the savage cult of Islam, orders the Muslim people to behead the infidels. So you go to Quran chapter 47 and verse 4. So when you meet those who became infidels, so strike the necks until you have made a great slaughter amongst them. Who are the infidels? I know in America, Muslims deny that Christians are infidels. But I'm sorry, Brother Jim. You can lie as much as you want. But when I opened the pages of the Quran, I found that Quran 5:72, infidel indeed are those who said, surely Allah is the Christ, son of Mary. Mm-hmm. So if I believe in Jesus Christ, son of Virgin Mary, is God Almighty who came in the flesh, I'm an infidel. The following verse, 5:73, if I believe in Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I am an infidel. And the Quran said what? When you meet those who became infidels, when you meet the Christians, strike the necks until you have made a great slaughter among them. And that's exactly what Muhammad practiced. That's how Muhammad understood these verses, and that's how Muhammad lived. So it's not just the teaching of the Quran. It is also the practice of Muhammad, the sunnah of Islam, which every Muslim must do. That's why we see Christians being persecuted and being killed all over the Muslim world in the last 1,400 years. Islam is not a faith. It's not a religion. It's a savage cult. The more you know about it, the more you know for sure it is a savage cult.
Usama, what is the origin of jihad?
If you go to the book of The Reliance of the Traveler, which is available in English for the Americans, been translated now for more than 30 years, approved by the Azhar University, and all scholars are telling us jihad is holy war, or in their belief, I said unholy war because of savage, to spread the religion of Islam. Muhammad was very clear. Allah in the Quran is very clear that you engage in war with them until Islam will be supreme in the land. He was commanded, Muhammad, by Allah, to engage in war with people until they say the Shahada. You say the Shahada, you're free. Your blood and your possession is free from any Muslim to touch.
Okay, now when you say the Shahada, what are we saying?
You have to say in the Arabic language, I bear witness that there is no God except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is a messenger of Allah. This is the foundation of Islam, the first pillar in Islam, which itself is a false witness, because no Muslims have ever seen, heard, touch, or smell Muhammad. There's no way you can say, I bear witness. Well, they translated in English, I believe, I'm sorry, it did not say U'min, it said Ashhadu. Ashhadu is, I bear witness.
Usama Daktak with us today. So when we talk about that being the origin of jihad, the true understanding then of jihad to a follower of Islam is what?
It is to engage in war. We got in the Quran 79 verses where Allah mentions the word engage in war. Muslim scholars interpret it to be performing jihad. Mm-hmm. We got 26 verses in the Quran where Allah talk about performing jihad. And Muslim scholars said that is to engage in war for the purpose of forcing everyone to become a believer. As a matter of fact, in Islam, to submit to Islam. As a matter of fact, Muhammad, he have specialties different than anybody else. He said, Nusurtu Barab. He had gained the victory by terrorizing people. How? Through the killing, through performing jihad. You will not find any other prophet before him, not in the Old Testament, that we talk about that in Volume 1. They did not kill people to convert them to Judaism. No. It is they were killing people for their sin as a judgment, for the sin they committed. And that law was given on the Gentiles in the Promised Land, the Amorites, and also was given to the Jewish people who sinned the same sins which the people who lived in this land were performing.
Usama, and this is important for individuals to understand. We're talking about the Quran. You've been quoting different verses from the Quran. We're going to quote some more. But there's also something known as the Hadith. What is the difference between the Quran and the Hadith?
The Quran is the word of Allah. The Hadith is the words of Muhammad. Also, we learn from the Hadith the Sunnah of Muhammad. So you can see Muhammad did this or Muhammad did that. It's a Sunnah. It's how Muhammad lived. Now, some Muslims always say, we only believe in the Quran. We don't believe in the Hadith. You can't. Why? Because Allah in the Quran said, obey Allah and obey the messenger. There is nothing of the teacher of Muhammad in the Quran. Mm-hmm. It is the word of Allah, as Muslims claim. So where is the word of Muhammad? It's in the Hadith, the saying of Muhammad. And by the way, the Muslims say that because they know most American people have never read the Quran. So if you quote from the Hadith, for example, Aisha was 6 years old when Muhammad married her and he was 51. You say, oh, that's in the Hadith. We don't believe in the Hadith. Well, that's okay. Let's go to the Quran. Quran chapter 65, verse 4, where not only Muhammad did that, but every Muslim believer can marry little girls who did not have their first period yet. So it is even worse in the Quran if we know what's written there.
Usama Daktak with us here today on Crosstalk. We're discussing jihad, Islam's unholy war. We'll be back in just 1 minute talking about the two houses of Islam, the house of peace and the house of war. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do fingerprints come from?
Chris, fingerprints are unique for each individual, produced by nuances in the genetic code. Now, koala bears also have fingerprints which look surprisingly like human fingerprints, even though in evolution we're not closely related to the koala bears. These are much more human-like than are those pseudo-fingerprints of chimpanzees, which evolutionists think are our closest relative. And how can that be? Evolutionists conclude koala bears and humans evolved their fingerprints independently, a convenient non-answer to evidence which fits creation and not evolution. Chris, the evidence doesn't fit evolution because evolution isn't true. We were created in God's image, separate from the animals, just like it says back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Usama Daktok in studio with us here today. He is founder of the Straight Way of Grace Ministry, and talking about his book, Exposing the Truth About Jihad. This is volume number 2, Unholy War in the Quran. The first volume was Holy War in the Bible. This is Unholy War in the Quran, and one really would gain a good understanding, because that's often an argument said, well, what about all the killings in the Bible? We hear that often, Usama. You've been confronted with that many times.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, when we're working on this radio broadcast, Jihad, which is what we have in that book, I got so many emails and phone calls from some of our Muslim friends all over this country complaining about my talk about Jihad, and they're trying to tell me, you have the same problem in the Bible. I said, no. The killing in the Bible is justifiable. It is the law was written, the day you eat from it, you surely die. End of story. Now, God has chosen to clear this specific piece of land, not to make these people believe in him, because he already gives them 490 years or so for them to repent, and they did not. So the judgment of God that they must die, as he did in the flood and other in the fire and other places. And by the way, it was just because on everybody who live in the same land, when the Jewish people sinned, he ordered the Gentiles who were wicked in the land to kill them and to persecute them. But in Islam, it's not. You're killing a Christian just because he's a Christian, just because he refused to believe in a false prophet, very sinful man by the name Muhammad. So this is not the same, obviously.
Jihad, Islam's unholy war topic here today. So tell us about the two houses of Islam, the house of peace, the house of war.
The whole world, Brother Jim, belong to two groups. Those who are submitted to Allah, the Muslim believers, who belong to the house of peace. Anybody and everybody else belong to the house of war. All infidels, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Christian, atheist, agnostic, whatever you do. If you are not a Muslim believer, you belong to the house of war. Now, Muslims do not practice the jihad everywhere they go until when they have the upper hand. So I promise you nothing will happen really serious in America, maybe for the next 4, 5, 10 years. But when Muslims in America will have the upper hand, that's when they're going to practice their teaching, which the teaching of Islam, which you're not a Muslim believer, you belong to the house of war. We will engage in war with you until you submit and you become a Muslim. And this is not my opinion. Once again, this is the teaching of the Quran, that Allah ordered the Muslim people to perform jihad with the unbeliever, with the people of the house of war, until they submit, until they surrender. Quran chapter 9, verse 5 is a powerful verse where Allah told them that when the forbidden months are passed, so kill the polytheists, wherever you find them, and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. But if they repent, here we go. What is to repent in Islam? To convert to Islam. So leave their way free. Surely Allah is forgiving, merciful. So the way for every infidel to move himself or his family from the house of war to the house of peace is to repent, to convert to Islam. This is the understanding of the house of war and the house of peace in a nutshell.
When does that conversion happen? When they get an upper hand. What is that point?
The point, I said that before, many times people don't believe me. I think around 5.5%. When you have 5.5% in any country, that's when Muslims, they have enough people and they know that they will not be taken out. They know that it's time for them to perform their duty before Allah. We've seen that happen all over Europe, and it's going to be coming here in America soon. I do not know how long this debate about opening the border or not. But if the border is open next month, I promise you, you will have the 5.5% in the next couple of years in America.
Wow. Usama, I'm going to give you a verse from the Quran. It's chapter 6, verses 151, and it says this, "And do not kill the soul which Allah forbids except with a just cause." Could you explain that?
Well, in Islam, you cannot kill a Muslim. The soul which Allah forbid. If you go to any Muslim theologian, any Muslim scholar to teach you, what is the soul which Allah forbid? It is a Muslim soul. The conclusion, any other soul can be killed. This is a simple understanding. You don't kill a Muslim because it's his soul is forbidden to be killed. But then Allah said, except for a just cause. Go read the scholar's interpretation. The just cause for killing a Muslim is one who commits one of the following three sin. That is, becoming a Christian, that's revert from Islam, go to some other religion, or the one who kill a Muslim soul, or the one who commit adultery. And the judgment for these three sin is death. So you cannot kill any Muslim, but you kill other people, but you can kill the Muslim if they commit adultery, kill a Muslim, And that's obviously amdan, means it's not an accident. It's not like you're driving a car and you hit a Muslim man and kill him. No, you kill him on purpose. And those who apostate left Islam.
Okay, and because we are witnessing a lot of Muslims killing other Muslims today.
Well, these are, once again, the Muslim will use that to say, look, Usama Dakhtar was wrong. Because these Muslims who are killing other Muslims, they're not Muslims. Because if they are Muslims, you should not kill Muslims. They're killing Christians, they're killing Jews, they're killing Muslims. No, they're killing hypocrite Muslims. Because if you are not following Islam, practicing Islam, you don't have to perform jihad. Just contribute towards jihad. Half of Saudi Arabia do not go out and kill, but they support those who are killing the infidels. So if you are not practicing Islam in one way or the other, perform jihad with your life or with your money, then you're a hypocrite. Then we have to kill you. And that's not going against the teaching of Islam. That's actually crossing the T's and dotting the I's of the word of Allah in the Quran.
You also indicate in your book here that the phrase engage in war is written in the Quran 79 times.
That's exactly right.
So who are they to engage in war with? I mean, that command is given over and over. You talk about those Muslims who violate, you know, those three reasons here. But war is actually decreed to Muslims.
Well, Muslims are ordered by Allah, and they saw the sunnah of Muhammad, how Muhammad practiced these verses. You engage in war with those who belong to the house of war. You engage in war with those who reject Islam. You engage in war with anyone who is not willing to submit to Allah Muhammad. Anybody. Maybe sometimes use the word kuffar, infidels. Sometimes use the word mushrikeen, the polytheists, who worship more than another God. It's all over the Quran. And the only way out that you can save your life and your possessions, that's your family and everything you got, is to convert to Islam. This is how it was 1,400 years ago, and that's how it is still practiced until today in the Muslim world.
But wasn't Muhammad called a prophet of peace?
Well, it depends how you pronounce the word peace, because we speak a little bit funny. Our English is not good. So actually, Muhammad, the prophet of peace is fall. Because if you study the Quran, you find that Allah in the Quran ordered Muslim believers to, if you go to Quran chapter 8, verse 60, and Quran chapter 5, verse 38, you see that Muslims are commanded to cut the hand and the legs on the opposite side, to cut the fingers and the toes, to behead. That will actually make any person to 22 pieces or 24 pieces, if you're going to practice Quran chapter 5 and 38. It is not peace, but pieces fall. We cut people to pieces.
Wow.
That's what
we
do.
What does the Quran teach about terrorism?
Well, that's a very good question, Brother Jim. We got six verses in the Quran. Actually, every one of these verses, when we talk about kill or behead, that is terrorism. What happened in Egypt last week, it was terrorism. For a minister with a bunch of kids on 17 years old on the beach of Alexandria in Muharram Beg, and they stab him with a knife in his neck and kill him in front of that's terrorizing.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't quote verses. But if you look at the word terrorism in the Quran, you find there are six verses where Allah in the Quran order Muslim believers to terrorize the Jews and the Christian, anyone who does not believe in Islam. Allah himself in the Quran is a terrorist. Go to Quran chapter 3, verse 151. When he said, we cast terror. When Allah cast terror, that's not a loving God. That's not a peaceful God. That's not a godly father. That is a terrorist. When Allah said to his angels to encourage the believers, to affirm the believers, he said, I will cast terror into their hearts. Allah is a terrorist. Muslim believers were commanded in the Quran 860 that he said, prepare for them whatever power you can. Terrorize the enemy of Allah and your enemies and others than them who you do not know. Allah in the Quran chapter 59 verse 13, he said, you are, can you imagine Allah speaking to Muslim believers? And he tells them, you are a great terror in their chest than Allah. Allah and Muslim believers know that infidels, Christians, Jews and others are not afraid of Allah, but they're afraid of the Muslims. And Muslims terrorize them more than Allah can ever terrorize any non-Muslim believer. So in reality, terrorism is the heart of Islam. I'm only quoting you six verses. 3151, 812, 860, Quran chapter 33, verses 26 and 27, 59.2, 59.13. These are six verses where the word terror is mentioned in these verses. How about the rest of the Quran? When Muslims practice it and people see what's happening, people will be terrorized. You may claim Islam is a loving and peaceful religion, but I'm sorry, you cannot bring us a verse from the Quran, unabrogated verse, which teach that Islam is a loving and a peaceful religion. But we can quote you over 300 verses from which we know for sure that Islam is not a religion. It is a savage cult. Teach its people to live and practice the tyranny of Allah and Muhammad.
Many of us do remember the atrocities of 9/11 and that Islamic terrorist attack here upon the United States. And in light of that, why does Islam continue to grow in our nation?
Because sadly, when September 11 happened, Mr. George W. Bush deceived the American people if he was ignorant of Islam. He told us what happened in September 11 have nothing to do with Islam. He actually used as useful idiot by the Muslim Jihad. As a matter of fact, I look in front of my computer here. Here is a good 8 people behind him and a lady who are the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood in America. He met with them 4 days, Brother Jim, 4 days after September 11. And he quoted verses from the Quran, which have nothing to do, but actually teach the opposite of what he teaches the American people. He lied to the American people on that day, and I can give him a good way out. He said, you know what? He did not know. It was just 4 days after September 11. But he continued to lie for the following 7 years as he continued to serve in the White House. He lied to the American people right and left and present Islam to be the opposite. He was quoting the words of the Muslims in his speeches, lies after lies after lies. And if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, sadly, most people will eventually come to believe it. That was Joseph Goebbels in Germany.
Repeatedly, he called it the religion of peace.
7 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first few times he said it, I was so angry, I want to put my hand inside the TV so I can pull him out. And I said, Mr. President, why do you lie to the American people? Mm. And then afterwards, I just give up on it. Because how can you change a man lies for 7 years? And sadly, after that, we got Obama for 8 years lying to the American people about the love and peace of Islam. And Mr. Trump could not say a word, except he said one time, Islam is an evil religion. He said that, and we have it to prove it. And that's why Muslims hate him worldwide. And sadly, from now on, you say the truth about Islam, you're Islamophobe, you're a hate monger, you're a racist, you're whatever names they give you. But let the Quran speak for itself. Islam is not what I say or some Muslims come to after me and say I lied. Islam is the word of Allah in the Quran and the command of Muhammad in the Hadith, which is a great evidence. It is not a loving and a peaceful religion. It is a savage cult which teach Muslims to perform jihad when they have the upper hand.
You have so much in your book we're not going to get to on the program here today, but your chapter 12, the final chapter is called The Destruction of America. Is that the ultimate goal of Islam?
This is not my opinion, Brother Jim. This is what Muslims wrote in their blueprint. When you build a house, you go to some designer, some engineer, and he puts some drawing on a piece of paper. It's called a blueprint. Mm-hmm. That's what you use to build a house. You cannot halfway through say, you know what? I don't like this part of the foundation. Or I don't like these walls here. Start moving stuff around. The blueprint was given to us by the Muslims from the Holy Land Foundation trial, where they told us 30 years ago, what is their goal for North America? That's where we live here. And their ultimate goal is to literally destroy this house, the House of America, and establishing Sharia instead of our Constitution. Get rid of everything we stand for in this country and replace it with Islam. And that is not just the goal of the Muslims here in America for the future of America. That is the goal of Muslims worldwide. Every country, Saudi Arabia, are hoping to accomplish Islamic State. Iran is hoping to accomplish the Islamic States. Every other Muslim country is seeking power to accomplish the Islamic States, which is taking over the world for Allah and for Muhammad.
Wow. Friends, we got to take a break here. We're going to come back to one more topic, though, and that is Ramadan. And we're going to talk about why all this, the killing and bombing and terrorism going on during Ramadan. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Skeptics and critics understand the magnitude of the resurrection. They have developed numerous theories in their desperate attempts to explain away the wealth of evidence. Early Christians consistently emphasized Christ's conquering of death. Yet many in the church today only discuss this vital doctrine at Easter time, and some fail to mention it entirely when attempting to share the gospel with unbelievers. In the book, In Defense of Easter, author Tim Chafee has written a biblical apologetic that teaches readers how history supports the resurrection, why skeptical explanations come up short, and how the resurrection is a source of comfort. This book clearly affirms the power of the resurrection and why remembering the resurrection is not limited to a single day on the calendar. In Defense of Easter is available for a donation of $13 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today, Usama Dakdak, and we're talking about jihad, Islam's unholy war. Matter of fact, he has a two-volume set entitled Exposing the Truth About Jihad. Volume 1 is on holy war in the Bible. Volume 2, unholy war in the Quran. Usama, for those who'd like to get these books, how can they obtain them?
They can simply just go to thestraightway.org and they go to our resources for videos and books, and they can order from there. It's available also as ebook. Volume 1, not Volume 2. We're still working on Volume 2 to make it an ebook. Or you can go to Amazon if you would prefer to use Amazon.
Okay. Again, it's thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org, Exposing the Truth About Jihad. The second volume came out here last fall, and glad to have you in studio to talk about it. Usama, we're involved. We're hearing about Ramadan. Muslims are observing Ramadan right now, a time of self-evaluation, introspect, we're told. It's also a time of fasting. We're told it's a time of prayer. Yet we know for Islam, this is also a time of much violence. I mean, Ramadan this year, April 1st to May 1st, and in the first 10 days of Ramadan this year, there have been 35 terror attacks in the name of Islam, and 181 have been killed. I mean, this is just, 10 days into it. Mm-hmm. How can this happen?
Well, let's correct first the first statement you said. It's time for Muslims to examine themselves.
Mm-hmm.
To what? To the written word of Allah. You know what Muhammad said in the hadith? If a Muslim believer died without performing jihad, or at least think and meditate in his heart about performing jihad, he will die as a hypocrite.
Wow.
So you have to at least think about it before you die. Now, you say Muslims fast the month of Ramadan. I'm sorry. Muslims never fasted a day in their life. Muhammad never fasted a day. What do you mean, Brother Usama? They're fasting 28 days every year, 29 days. That's not fasting, Brother Jim. When you turn the day to night and the night to day, that's not fasting. Fasting, the biblical fasting is, number one, no one knows it. Now they announce it. Fasting in the Bible, if you fast a day, it's 24 hours. So if you're not going to fast, we already ate breakfast. We're going to wait until tomorrow to have the next breakfast, 24 hours. People in the Bible fasted 3 days and three nights. The book of Jonah, we know that the people of Nineveh fasted 4 days and four nights. Even their animals fasted. David fasted 6 days and six nights. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So fasting is not to don't eat during the day and eat at night. Muslim never fasted a day in their life. I'm talking about 24-hour fasting. So what they do is they fast all day and they eat all night long. Study after study after study in planet Earth where Muslims are fasting, they gain weight in the end of the month of Ramadan. So imagine with me, you're fasting for a whole month and you gain 15, 20, 25 pounds depending on how much you move during the day, because some people just sleep all night, all day and eat all night. Even Allah in the Quran teaches them that they can have sexual relationship with their wives or their concubines and their slaves all night long during the month of Ramadan. What is the fasting? If that's true, if the Islamic fast is fasting, then I've been fasting for the last 52 years of my life. Mm-hmm. Because guess what, Brother Jim? When I go to bed, I stop eating.
Mm-hmm.
Until I wake up in the morning. I don't even eat breakfast. I fast more than any Muslim by not eating all my night and until 10, mm-hmm. 11 o'clock in the morning. So that's not fasting. It's a joke. It's a comedy. The worst thing about the month of Ramadan is they examine themselves. Have you performed jihad? No. Well, maybe it's about time. Why do we have more violence in the month of Ramadan than any other months? Because Allah and Muhammad assure the Muslim people, when you kill in the month of Ramadan, you get 10 rewards for it. So I can kill one infidel any month of the year, or Ramadan, and I get one reward. Or in the month of Ramadan, I kill one infidel, and I get 10 rewards. And Muslims are closer to the word of Allah. When we skip the Bible for some time, we get spiritually low. You know, you get no, like, battery losing charge. In Islam, in the month of Ramadan, they read the entire Quran. Whoa! Can you imagine now? We're reading all the verses of the Quran we're talking about, which teach to perform jihad, which teach to kill, which teach this and that. And then it's like remembering the word of Allah in the month of Ramadan. That's why they find out more Muslims practice the verses of the Quran in the month of Ramadan, because it's a spiritual time to remind yourself and practice the verses of the Quran. That's why you see more violence in the month of Ramadan than any other months of the year.
Wow. Usama Daktok with us. Friends, we're going to open our phone lines right now and give you opportunity to ask questions of Usama. We're trying to keep our comments and questions dealing with this topic of jihad, exposing the truth about jihad. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Taking your questions today or brief comments for Usama Daktok, because we are seeing this rise take place. And Usama, we hear a lot in the West, and we hear something different than what you've been saying. We don't hear the words of the Quran in the West. We keep hearing, and matter of fact, we will hear from groups that will say, oh, all the violence against Muslims that is going on and escalating, all these hate crimes against Muslims.
Well, I do not know where is the violence against Muslims. What I know for sure that there is not any American killed Muslim for being Muslims. But I know for sure many Muslims kill many Christians for being a Christian. And the by the way, what inspired me to write this book, Brother Jim, is a DVD which is called Islam, A Face Hijacked. And I was shocked in the DVD that Muslims are telling us September 11 is nothing but somebody hijacked Islam. These 19 hijackers hijacked Islam. And I said in my book, and I repeat again, Islam hijacked these 19 young men. Mm. Islam hijacked many of the Muslims. Mm-hmm. Sadly, these Muslims who perform jihad are victims number one of jihad, and the rest of the world who are not Muslims has been hijacked by these Muslims. So as I said, we're victim number two, and the Muslims who practice Islam are literally victim number one.
Let's go to the phone lines. Rob is calling Rob from Cambridge, Minnesota. Rob, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just going to bring up the Minneapolis City Council 2 weeks ago just passed that they're going to announce the call to prayer mm-hmm. year-round. Is that, couldn't that be like considered a terrorist call?
Well, brothers, thanks for your question. Here is the truth. They only allow it 3 times a day because Muslims in America are very sensitive for those who like to sleep a little bit more in the morning. So the first call in the morning around 5 o'clock or so, they're not going to do that. And one in the end, in case somebody would like to go to bed earlier, they will not allow that. The call of prayers is a statement that we are taking over. Hmm. We are practicing Islam in a deeper level. And trust me, the day will come and the Muslims will have the 5 daily call, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, out of this mosque, loudspeakers. And I say loudspeakers because the purpose of this is to wake people up so they can go and pray in the mosque.
Yeah. So in essence, that's follow the call of Islam, the call of jihad.
It is what, Brother Jim, we talked about that maybe 10 years ago, and mm-hmm. we said it is boiling the frog. You don't boil the frog mm-hmm. in hot water. You just put the normal water and keep the heat under the water until the frog will be boiled. America will become Saudi Arabia or Egypt. Just give the Muslims enough time.
Rob, thank you for the call. We've got Richard next in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Richard, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Say, I see the Ramadan and Easter celebration overlaps this year, and I have heard that the influence of so much proof for the resurrection has been said that the largest segment of growth in the Christian church are former Muslims. I've heard that from a mission organization. Is there any comment about that?
Sure, brother. We believe it or not, just the last 2 weeks I've been communicating with some of the new Muslim believers from Saudi Arabia, and we have church now growing in Saudi Arabia. The church has grown beyond imagination in the country of Iran. But here is the words of these Christian believers from a Muslim background. They said, it is sad, it is very sorrowful to see literally millions of Muslims are leaving Islam, but only few thousands are becoming Christians. Muslims are realizing that Islam is a savage cult. Islam is an empty. As a matter of fact, with the more we talk about Islam, the more we educate the people, the people realize the king is naked. That's what it is. Everybody talk about the beautiful robe of the king, how this wonderful dress, but then a little child realized the king is naked. Islam is naked. Muhammad is naked. The Quran is naked. That's why when Muslims have access to the internet and all this ministry we do online, they're leaving Islam. But the sad thing is, they're not becoming a Christian because we need more ministers to the Muslim people, more educated ministers to minister to Muslim people. And believe it or not, there are many of them coming to Christ through dreams and vision. So God is good, but we need to get a little bit busy to be sincere about our obedience to the Great Commission of our Lord.
Mm. Thank you, Richard.
Yeah. And there's also such coverage from satellite television over the Arab countries that's influential too.
Radio broadcast, podcast.
This is exactly what's happening. Yeah. This was happening, brother.
Okay, let's go next to Valerie in Fairview, Pennsylvania. You're on the air, Valerie.
Hello, Jim. Thank you so much for your program. I greatly appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a question. I have heard about 2 weeks ago, if he is aware, that during Ramadan, there is a lot of violence going on. And I know the nation of Israel, the prime minister did sign a document a couple weeks ago declaring that everyone that has arms for a license, that they need to start carrying them. Because some high leader, I want to call him, in the Islamic religion, pulled some scriptures out of the Quran, calculated a date of July 8th for the extinguish of Israel. So they are prepping, supposedly, all the people in their synagogues, temple, to start war against Israel.
Valerie,
yes.
I'm going to have you, Usama, comment on that issue.
Well, here's the truth. Muslims from day one, that is 1,400 years ago, were commanded by Allah to wipe out those whom they call the wrath of Allah is against, the Jews, as well as the Christians. And setting a date or not, that's not mean nothing, but maybe they are looking for the day to annihilate Israel from the face of the earth. And believe it or not, their hatred to Israel is just the hatred of a small devil, because the same Muslims who hate Israel also hate America, for they believe America is the great Satan. So they are working on it, and we know the scriptures is telling us that truthfully that Israel will not be wiped out of the face of earth because Jesus is coming back to his people in Israel.
Oh, amen. Amen. I absolutely agree with that. I just wasn't aware if you had heard about the Prime Minister of Israel.
Well, the Muslim, yes, ma'am. What's happening is Jewish people are making awareness for the Jewish people to protect themselves, to defend themselves, not to go in war against the Palestinian or the Muslims at all.
Thank you for the call here, Valerie. Manny is next in Arizona. Manny, you're on the air.
So I had a question. I talked to my Muslim friend and I asked him, hey, what was before Islam? And he couldn't really, you know, come up with an answer. I said, is God changing? Did he say, okay, first it's this way, then it's this way? You know, and I quoted him that verse of the Bible that says, you know, if any other, you know, a doctrine comes, let it be accursed.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked if he didn't know how to respond to that.
What is before Islam in the Muslim world? Is this your question?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, believe it or not, in Saudi Arabia, in Mecca, in Medina, there were Jews, there were Christians, and also there's lots of idol worshippers. And Muhammad himself was an idol worshipper for 40 years of his life, and he continued to kiss the black stone, which is a continuation of the worship of the gods of his family. Until today, you still have the black stone in the Kaaba. And there's nothing about the Islam came to fulfill that which is was not there in Judaism and Christianity. For Allah himself in the Quran declared to the Jews, to the Muslims, that the Jews and the Christians are okay. The problem is Muhammad came to first embrace what was there before, including even the idol worshippers and those idols you worship. And then Muhammad accomplished his new religion or his new cult by wiping out anyone and everyone who exists before Islam until you accept Islam.
So it came out of idol worship?
Sure, absolutely.
Wow. Thank you for the call. Up against a break, we'll take more calls following. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Usama Daktak, our guest today from thestraightway.org.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. There was a classified document that was released to some within the intelligence community on December 10, 1974. Remember, it was classified. It wasn't declassified until 1989. But here's what this report in 1974 talked about: population control. And you know what it was dubbed? The Kissinger Report, after the man who helped lead it, Henry Kissinger. And guess what he was talking about? Controlling world population. Chapters include population and world food supplies, economic development and population growth, World Population Conference. Talked about using the media and satellite communications for family planning. Henry Kissinger, it said, helped to create the World Economic Forum. So Henry Kissinger has been at this population control a long time. The power elite and population control. That's active euthanasia and abortion on demand. I'm Brandon House.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Usama Daktak is with us today, founder of the Straight Way of Grace Ministry. His website, thestraightway.org. We're talking about jihad, Islam's unholy war, today on the broadcast and taking your calls. Our number is 1-800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. By the way, Usama will be on our television program tonight at 7 o'clock Central Time, available over the air for Southeast Wisconsin, but anywhere at vcy.tv, vcy.tv. Emery is calling from Tucson, Arizona. Emery, you're on the air.
Well, hi, thank you. I just wanted to say I support Usama. I've supported him financially. I've bought his Quran and a couple of his publications, and I support him prayerfully as well. I pray for his safety and for his success. I agree with everything he says. The Quran is so clear, and his message should go to every single person in this country. And I'm very unhappy that our government has failed, because our government does not recognize that Islam should be declared unconstitutional, simply because the Constitution grants us freedom of religion and the Quran grants us death if we do not convert. So I think that they should be free to worship Allah in other countries, send them anywhere they want, but it should be outlawed here in the United States without persecution. Just give them a one-way ticket and let them go.
Okay.
Well, brother, thank you for your support and for your prayers. But here is the truth. American people will not wake up. This is my heart. I've been trying to do this now for 30 years since I came to this country. But the American people will not wake up because of political correctness and because people are lacking knowledge. If you have not studied, if you have not read, how do you know? I've been saying that for a long time. It is unconstitutional for Muslims to live in America if they want to be Muslims. I know they're telling us they're vetting the Muslim people. You don't vet a Muslim people by asking this ridiculous question before you bring them to this country. Are you a member of a jihad organization, or are you attempting in the future, are you going to join a jihad organization? The best vetting is this. Are you a Muslim? Yes. You believe in the Quran? Yes. I'm sorry. You cannot come to America. You cannot stay in America. If we have studied the Quran, if we have read the Quran, but the longer we be ignorant of the Quran, for sure, we'll be destroyed. The Bible is very clear. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Mm.
Thank you, Emery, for the call.
I agree with that, and the problem is the American people will not simply read the Quran. It's out there, and it's so clear and so plain, and nobody takes the time to read it.
Sadly.
Thank you, Emery. And Usama, you have translated into English. You point out the errors in the Quran and working on a revision right now.
Yes, indeed. We sent the Quran, the first publishing, we sent the Quran to every senator, to every congressman, to the governors, everybody important in this country. We did. And I thought that would bring awakening to the leader of this country, but they're a bunch of cowards or a bunch of ignorant. That's what they are.
Hmm. Let's go to another call from a caller from Tucson, Arizona. And Greg, you're on the air.
Thank you so much. God bless you, Usama. I was about to quote that line from Hosea, by the way, suffering from lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Couple comments. Going back to, by the way, I'm a canceled cultured teacher from the Boston area, and you can probably figure out the reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
But George Bush ensconced Sharia law into the constitutions of Afghanistan and Iraq after we had so-called conquered them. Sharia law, George Bush. Look at Dearborn, Michigan. Don't they? Isn't that turned into an Islamic city? And have we not built 2,000 mosques in this country since 9/11? I mean, look at the American military. Yeah. I mean, West Point. As an Islamic chaplain up there, we really need revival. We're really lost.
Yeah, amen.
And I'm so grateful for your work, Usama.
Thank you, brother. The problem is, once again, after September 11, the American people never heard the truth about Islam. And believe it or not, George W. Bush was in war in two different countries, Iraq and Afghanistan. And not one Muslim in America called him Islamophobe. Not one Muslim in America called him radical extremist or whatever. As a matter of fact, he got more Muslim to vote for him second term. That's 3 years after he launched a war against Iraq and Afghanistan. Because he did exactly what he wanted. He gives them America. Mr. George W. Bush put Muslims in almost every important job, in every important office in America. They were there, FBI, CIA, Homeland Security, in the White House. He got Muslims there in a small number, of course. But during this time, the number of Muslims coming to America skyrocketed. Then after him, we got Barack Hussein Obama, and it's quadrupled. Few mosques was built during the days of Mr. George W. Bush. He never stopped one mosque, and under Obama, quadrupled. And so help us God. It's like, it's backwards. We call the evil of Islam good, and the good of Christ and Christianity is evil, and that's how America has been going down loop for a long time, since September 11, at least.
Thank you, Greg. We're going to squeeze one last call in from Boulder, Wisconsin. Diana, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like to know what the Salafi, I heard that they do the four followers of Muhammad. Do they believe in the Quran like the other Islams because they believe in Muhammad's first four followers?
Well, thank you for calling, my dear sister. Believe it or not, there is not a Muslim who does not believe in the Quran. To be a Muslim, once again, to submit to what? To Allah's word in the Quran and the teaching of Muhammad in the Hadith. That is to be a Muslim. We know, we hear always, well, these are the Shafi'is, this is Hanbali, this is Ahmadi, this, whatever names they give to you, they all believe in the Quran. They all believe in Muhammad. They all believe in Allah. You cannot be a Muslim if you are not living the teaching of the Quran. Now, some Muslims, they may think they're softer than others. That's why these are the easy target for Muslims to wipe out. Just in Egypt, a few years ago, they killed a bunch of Sufi Muslims. They actually put three bombs inside the mosque. The Sunni of Egypt did that. And the people run out of the mosque who were alive. They hunt them outside with gun machine and they kill them all. Why? Because these people like to do some dancing and some music within Islam as well. So there's not good Muslim. And even when some people said, well, dead Muslim is good Muslim. And I say, I'm sorry. Dead Muslim is not a good Muslim because he died without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. And everyone who die, Muslim or not, without knowing Christ as Lord and Savior, will burn in hell. That's not a good thing at all.
Not at all. Thank you, Diana, for the call. We are out of time. Usama Dakdak with us here today on Crosstalk. Again, his series, Exposing the Truth About Jihad. This volume 2, Unholy War in the Quran, and it's available at thestraightway.org. TheStraightWay.org. Usama, thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Thank you.
And friends, join us tonight. Usama will be with us on television, VCY.TV, 7 p.m. Central Time. There's no subscription fee. It is free. Free television, VCY.TV, 7 o'clock Central Time this evening. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.